Hey guys, welcome to episode 144 of Inside the Cage. Scott and Mark with you as ever. How are you, big man? You good?
I'm not bad, mate. It's about the colour for the weekend, but I'm doing all right. How are you?
Aye, good, mate. Good. All good. No dramas, mind. Living the dream, you know, mate.
Good stuff. Glad to hear it.
Busy show today, right? And I've got loads to talk about.
I know, it's been madness trying to fucking catch up with it, to be honest.
It's been madness. It is always madness, though, when you're away. Like, you're away busy doing things, and then you come back, and you've got life to try and get back into the swing of, and, you know, people to see and do things with, and then you've got to try and fit in, you know, however many, like, 15 fight card, 14 fight cards, you know what I mean? And a lot of it was decision-heavy, so it was
I knew all the results before I watched it, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, that's got to be a fucking hell of a long card to try and catch up on.
I mean, I seen the first fight on Saturday night in the pub, because obviously it was only 47 seconds, so I watched it.
How did you watch that in the pub? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, why would you? I was outside with Matt watching it.
All right, okay. Fair enough. What pub were we in? What one was that?
Pop World.
All right, okay. Exciting stuff.
I was, it was just early on, I think. It was quite early on, so he was out having a fat cigarette, and I was out, and I was like, ah, 47 second finish. Right, I'll do it. Let's get it on and get it watched. So it was just one last thing to watch it. But yeah, long card. Been a kind of slog watching it, but some good stuff on it, some talking points for sure. So we'll follow the usual path, the usual format, guys. We'll look back at the weekend previous. We've got, I say, UFC, Bellator as well, and then we'll look ahead to this week because there's PFL tomorrow. Bellator Friday, Saturday, two Bellators, and then a UFC on Saturday as well. So it's just a manic 3 or 4 days of fucking MMA. So we'll kind of rattle through most of this, try and get as much of it done as we can. The usual thing, we're trying to keep things to an hour, as you guys know. So if we run out of time, things may get shortened and that, but that's just the way it fucking works. So let's get started. Two-footed. UFC on ESPN, Lucky versus Muhammad 2, UFC on ESPN 34, and UFC Vegas 51, obviously from the Apex facility in Vegas, slowly becoming more and more fans in it every week, I think. It's louder and louder every week. Headlined by the rematch from 2016 of Bilal Muhammad versus Vicente Luque. Now, first, before we even talk about the fight, right, this was a lot of heavy weight was put behind Luque here. A lot of people didn't really give Muhammad a chance. And for me, that was, like I said to you, I vaguely remember having a conversation. Can't remember if it was when we were, you know, pissed or if we were sober. But I vaguely remember you saying to you that Luque would struggle with Muhammad's pressure. And yeah, fucking nailed it because that's exactly what happened.
I just, for me, I thought, I picked Luque. I always thought Luque was going to get a win. I still don't, weirdly, as much as he did deal with his pressure, I thought, this is going to fucking sound stupid, and if I'm going to be say this, he was still shutting down the podcast and fucking calling it a day, but I still don't think Bilal Muhammad is as good as Vicente Luque, and I know that sounds fucking stupid, because obviously he's beat him on Saturday night, so he's obviously better. That's just, that sounds fucking stupid for me to say that, but as a mixed martial artist, I still think Vicente Luque is better. But as you say, on Saturday night, the pressure improved too much for Luque. He couldn't deal with Muhammad's a couple of takedowns, or four takedowns, I think, is what the fight he got, or something like that. I think Luque won the third, I think, if I remember correctly.
I had it 3-2. I think I had Luque winning 2. But it was,
yeah, I give him 2. I think it was 1. It was definitely close. I can't remember exactly what 1 it was, but there's no doubt, obviously, Muhammad won the fight, man. His takedowns were pretty spot on. I honestly thought maybe Luque's jiu-jitsu would possibly cause Muhammad an issue once he did get the takedowns, but
it didn't
at all, which was, I was quite surprised at. But then Muhammad, I never felt like Muhammad was ever going to finish the fight. I never felt like Muhammad was ever actually going to get Luque out of there. I always felt like it was going to be a slog the whole time I watched the fight.
Yeah.
But he won the fight, no doubt about that. It wasn't full of style, it wasn't full of swagger, but he won the fight comfortably in the end, probably.
Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't outstanding, to be fair. It was a good performance by Lucky. It was the Lucky I expected. Good performance from Muhammad, sorry. I don't understand a lot of these people that were seeming to think that Muhammad would struggle with the 25 minutes, because his cardio always seems like legit insane, and it did again on Saturday. I thought it was a good performance, to be honest. Not earth-shatteringly brilliant, but look, he's a hard guy to put away. Simple as that. So I think to get...
I don't even feel so there was any threat of Muhammad trying to put him away.
No, I know, but you know, people always say that, you know, putting somebody away weighs heavier, you know, matchmaking, all that shit and stuff. But I honestly don't think Muhammad would have finished him. Look, he's a tough son of a bitch, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't think Look, he would ever have finished... Sorry, Muhammad would ever have finished him. Like, why am I getting them so confused? Fucking hell, man.
I don't know.
It's like the Brendan Allen and Arnold Allen thing all over again, remember?
No, it's worse than that. Two totally different names.
Yeah, I know. Listen, it was a good performance. I like watching Muhammad. I always have. He's relentless. He doesn't stop. Some of the takedowns, like that's, I think it was the second one. He literally picked him up one side of the octagon, shoved off his right foot and dumped him in his arse at the other side of the octagon. I was like, holy fuck, man. That was like a takedown for hell. It was something else. Was impressed, because look, he's a hard puzzle to crack, and I was quite impressed with Muhammad.
Yeah, it was decent. I just wasn't overly buzzed about it. Maybe that was just me personally. Maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe it's just not my style of stuff and stuff like that. And
yeah,
it didn't entertain me particularly much, to be honest. And I think that was probably why I was. I don't mind wrestling, but I want to see wrestling to a finish. And I just never felt like Muhammad was even going to try and do anything. And I think that's what kind of thingied me. I was like, really? Hey, come on, mate, fucking try something. Like, just try and take an echo. But even the commentators were saying that, is like, you never feel like they were going to threaten a submission, because he doesn't really have that, to be honest. He's not a massive submission guy, but when your wrestling's that good, you've then got to add that to them to be able to win it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you look at Muhammad's record, like, it's 21 wins, 16 of them have been by decision, 4 have been by knockout. Considering his wrestling's that good, you'd think there'd been more submissions on that. He does ragdoll a lot of people. There's no doubt about that. And obviously apart from the could do no contest to Leon Edwards, that's what 8 fights in a row he's unbeaten now. So mate, he's on a bit.
He's not the most exciting to watch, as you say, but gets the job done, mate. He's at the third highest winning streak or unbeaten streak in the division. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, I presume that'll be after Usman and Edwards, I presume. That's quite impressive when you think of the companies in there, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's definitely a contender. It goes back to this thing we were talking about, though. Like, last week when we talked about Burns and Chimaev, it was like, well, what's next? And then this kind of throws another name in the mix. We were talking about if Luque wins, such and such, if Bilal wins. Now that Bilal wins, he's called out Colby or Chimaev, which kind of suggests to me that obviously the Usman Edwards thing looks like that might be in the works, I presume. I hope. What is the fight to make then? Call it the now. Give your prediction, because it's a big one.
No, I honestly don't know. I honestly think Bilal Muhammad is at least a year away if he's fighting for a title. You've got to wait for Edwards Usman to get made. That'll happen. Whenever that happens, it will happen. That will be made. I think Chimaev, as long as Covington doesn't shit the bed, I think he'll be up for that. I think that'll be another fight that's getting made, and that'll be a case of if Chimaev beats Covington, Chimaev will probably get a title fight. Possibly if Covington beats Chimaev, possibly Muhammad maybe goes in and faces Colby to see if they can do it again, because there's just Colby's so far behind in the division, behind getting another shot at Usman because he's been beaten twice, that you've kind of got to go around. Chimaev gets his shot, that's fair enough. So it's next for Muhammad. I don't actually know. I have no idea what is next for Bilal Muhammad. And it's weird to say that, because I can't. The obvious one probably would be go, stick him in against Gilbert Burns. But I don't think Gilbert Burns is going to look at Muhammad and go, I fancy that fight. It's an all-lose situation for Gilbert Burns. He doesn't make enough money off it. If he loses, he loses to a guy who's done more than that. And if he wins, it does fuck all for him. So Gilbert Burns, for me, wouldn't take the fight. So I think you might
see Muhammad skip Burns in the rankings when they get announced tomorrow. In fact, are they out?
I don't know. No, April 12th, so no, they'll be announced today or tomorrow probably. So maybe even later on tonight or something like that.
It's done. Bilal Muhammad is now ranked 5th.
Right, so he's jumped slightly. He's not jumped very far.
Him and Lucky have basically just swapped places. Burns Muhammad seems like a fight to me to make. Burns Muhammad, and then you get Chimaev versus Colby.
But you look up, I agree with you. Like, if you look on paper and you look at the rankings, that's probably the only other fight to make. But if I was Gilbert Burns, I don't see the point in taking that fight. Especially if he's looking to go fight other people. Obviously, mentioned certain names in the past that were money fights as such, and maybe he's more interested in that now. He's thinking, I'll go take a couple of money fights and work my weight back up. Like, I just don't see... I don't see Gilbert Burns going, fuck it, I'll fight Bilal Muhammad, because it does absolutely fuck all for him, really, if he beats Bilal Muhammad. It puts Muhammad well into the contention talk. He's definitely in there looking for a fight that gets him for a number one contender's fight as such. He starts the fights away from fighting for a belt for me, even though he's that damn close, because he's got to work so hard because of his style to get the chances next, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't know what's next, Muhammad, mate. I'd be interested to see what comes out, though. See if you decide to do with him, because there's no obvious solution for me anyway.
Yeah. Right. This co-main was between two guys I've never heard of. I'm still amazed this co-main invented the event. I'm still amazed. Can't believe it. There's a bigger issue here, though, to talk about, and I have quite strong opinions on this. This is a conversation. We can have this conversation about two fights. So we can talk about Kyle Baralho versus Gadzi Omargadjiev and Martin Boudet versus Chris Barnett. Right, here it is, right? For me, these should both be disqualifications. These are illegal shots. I don't give a fuck how long the fights went. I really couldn't give a monkey's. The fact that Kyle Baralho has a win on his record for kneeing Omargadjiev in the face is ridiculous. Same with Boudet. Boudet's was worse. Because that was an actual illegal shot. Like, so I suppose they're both illegal shots. You can't knee somebody in the face. But an elbow, a downward elbow to the back of the head is shocking. Like, actually shocking. It's one of these strikes that is so banned. Like, you never see it ever. You see kicks to the head, knees to the head all the time because of this vague rule. But there's no vagueness about an elbow to the back of the head. An elbow to the back of the head, no matter where you are, what you're doing, is fucking illegal. And the fact that, again, he got a win... I don't get it, mate. I really just don't get it. Peter Yan kneed Aljamain Sterling in the face, probably one of the most blatant illegal knees you've ever seen in your whole life, and that was a DQ. So I don't get why it's a DQ. I understand there's this law, there's this rule in the laws, or law in the rules, whatever you want to call it, that says if it goes a certain distance, it can go to the judges' scorecards. Fine. And Baralho had won all three rounds. Great. Superb. But come on, mate. If you illegally strike someone and that person cannot continue, how can you honestly justify giving that person a win? Honestly, I think
you've got to judge each one differently. I think for me, Boudet's was totally illegal. Like, he knew he was striking the back of his head. There's no fucking doubt for me that he knew he was striking the back of his head. What did fucking big man? Can't remember his bald teeth name, but
Magliotta.
Talk about Maida. What did they think he was aiming for? I don't know, because it was only available space that he could hit. So he was clearly aiming for that space in his head.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Chris Barnett again had lost the first three rounds anyway, on his way to defeat. So, but yeah, I'd probably agree that one for me was worse than Barajos. Barajos?
Bravo, yeah. No, Bravo. I totally agree. Martin Boudet had a very small part of Chris Burnett's head to aim for in there, and it was the back. There was nowhere else that elbow was going to hit except the back of his head. That one was worse for me 100%. But it's just, I'm not saying Kyle Baralho should have the book thrown at him and he should be banned for life. I'm not extreme. I'm not like saying like the guy was class actually, and I was really loving watching him fight. But it just doesn't sit well with me that Gadjev is now 13-1. Gadjev has lost his undefeated streak because he got kneed in the head. Now, granted, you could say if that had went another few minutes, then Gadjev was going to lose anyway.
I'd look at that another way, right? For me, look, the way that Baralho threw that strike, there's milliseconds and possibly a hand getting lifted off stuff like that, right? So that one was very close. I didn't have an issue, massive issue with that one. See, if Gadziev or Omar Gadziev had won the second round, Baralho would have lost the fight on points, but he was never winning it anyway. So I'm not saying that's a reason for making that, but to say that it's a bit shit that he's got that because of that, he wouldn't have won the fight.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the strike. As I said, I don't even have an issue with the illegal strike. I mean, Christ, people have been needing the head, you know, worse. Look at Jans. I mean, Jans wasn't even close. At least Omar Gadjiev was, I mean, his hand was literally moving off the canvas. It was literally, you know, a ball here in it, right? Yep. I understand that.
And a lot of these fighters, when they're in that kind of clinch decision, they're trying to lift the body off the deck. So the hand's under the armpits. Try to lift him up and try to make sure his hand is off. So again, it's milliseconds and when you throw that strike. So,
but the thing is, right, no matter which way you look at it, right, you can justify it, we can talk about it and saying it was close, he was lifting him up, if it had been half a second later, he'd have been a clean strike, right? He still threw an illegal strike. So when he threw that knee, Gadjiev was on the ground, as per the rules. The rules are bullshit, by the way. I think a ground opponent should at least have one knee down. That's just my opinion. I think if you're putting a hand on the deck to stop getting kneed in the face, you deserve to get kneed in the fucking face.
I think
a knee, a downed opponent should be a knee down. That's just my opinion. But the point is, like, it's like hitting hope, mate. It's like hope is a tactic. That's what that is. He threw that knee hoping that he would be able to get Gadjiev up off the ground and couldn't, and it was an illegal strike. I don't know, mate. There's something about it. When I looked at the apology and I seen Baralho's name in green, and you're like, technical decision. You're like, technical decision. So it wasn't really a decision. It was a technical decision because it didn't go the full 15 minutes, but it went enough for the 15. Mate, it's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. I'm not saying give Gadji the win. I'm not, by the way. I'm absolutely not saying that. It should be a no contest or a DQ. I don't know what a DQ would show like on a record. For me, it should be a no contest. Simple as that. Neither guy gets the win. Neither guy gets the loss. Simple as that. It's Baralho's own fault for kneeing Omar Gadjiev in the head. Now, yes, granted, Baralho was going to win the fight comfortably, like Boudet was, comfortably winning the fight. It's his own fucking fault for throwing it away, and he shouldn't get the win because of that. That's just my point, mate. I understand.
I know where you're coming from, man. I know what you're saying. I can hear it. For me, it's just one of... that was an accidentally badly timed strike, if that makes sense. And I think he didn't go to strike him because his hand was on the ground as such, whereas Boudet's struck him in the back of the head because it's the only fucking bit he could hit him on. And I think there's obviously a slight difference between that. So I don't have an issue... 4 minutes into the third round, he's done this accidentally, and it is accidental, as much as it's accidentally timed, so it's accidentally just slightly off, which is so easily done in a fighting situation. For me anyway, I definitely don't have a massive issue with Baralho getting the win for that, because I think it'd be so harsh to take that off him after all that, something that was thrown half a second too early.
I think it's his own fault for throwing a strike that was illegal in the first place. But, I mean, I heard what DC's comments were, and DC's comments are like, you know, oh, it was unintentional. He's like, everything you throw in there, everything is with intent.
Of course, intentionally meant to kneel him in the head. It was just literally, it's half a second maybe earlier. It's just something didn't happen.
Should have timed it better then.
Well, that's that. It's mistimed, but you mistime a lot of stuff. So...
I just think
you could knock out yourself. So it's just one of these things for me. I don't have an issue.
I just personally, I personally just don't think there should be this kind of grey area where if a fight's long enough, you could knee somebody in the face, get technically disqualified for an illegal strike, and still win the fight. I know it's at the discretion of the referee, but it shouldn't be. In that situation, there should be clear rules, mate, clear rules, because there's so much dubiety. You know, it was basically up to Dan Margliotta to decide what happened in those fights, and it shouldn't be that. There should be rules that are clear and concise. If it's an illegal strike and your opponent cannot continue, it's a DQ or a no contest, whatever you want to call it, I guess essentially they would be the same thing. It's just one of those things. It's frustrating the life out of me, mate, because, I mean, for me, it's tarnished a particularly good performance from Barajo and a particularly good performance from Martin Budde. Martin Budde is possibly one of the most scariest people ever. He is fucking massive. I don't know, man. It just left a bad taste. I'm just like, these guys are getting their arms raised and, you know, Gadji loses his... Okay, I mean, I say that Gadji loses his unbeaten streak. He was losing it anyway. He was getting pumped for 3 rounds. And Barajo looked absolutely class, to be fair. If we're actually talking about the fight as a 15 minutes...
Brilliant, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, he looked superb. Big, strong, powerful, direct. I thought he was superb. I think that's what frustrates me the most, is the fact that it's now tarnished because of something so stupid. I think the rules need to be tidied up. It needs to be... I honestly don't think
you've got to give the referee license to judge when something happens. You could easily have a grappling situation where two guys are on the floor and one goes to stand up and the other one doesn't move and you knee him in the face. And if you were just to put a rule in that basically said that... Because that would be an accidental strike. So, but then you've got to... The referee's got to make a judgment on whether that is an accidental strike or not. So that, even though...
Accidental's accidental. But Barajo's strike wasn't accidental. It was mistimed. That's not an accident, mate. He meant to knee him in the head. Because he couldn't time it right isn't an accident, mate. That isn't an accident. That's mistimed. It's okay, you could say it didn't intentionally mean to knee a ground opponent, a grounded opponent. Fine. Can argue that point. That's cool. I'm okay with that. But it's still an illegal strike. Now, if you're seeing two guys are trying to get up off the ground and one goes to knee the other because they're both coming up at the same point, but the boy dips his knee at the last minute and knees him in the face, I get that. It's slightly different. Or if Barajo had thrown a strike and Gadjiev's arm was off the ground, but as it landed or just before it landed, he put his hand down, then I would have the same situation. It's still an illegal strike, but then Kyle threw it when... It was legal, do you know what I mean? I don't know, It's so frustrating.
I know, but at the end of the fight, because I said, I thought he was just touching it with his fingertips. And if you're standing over looking over the top of somebody, trying to see where his hand is at that moment in time, when you're in a fight, you're trying not sucking sevens of shit at each other. I just think that would be, from his point of view, if you're literally looking down on somebody and their hand is like that, it would be extremely difficult probably to tell if his hand's flat on the ground or his fingers are just touching the ground. So
don't throw it then. That's the thing.
You look at it and you go, well, I think he's just touching it with his fingertips. I was supposed to be flat palm, isn't it? Which it was there.
I don't know how it works.
I think if he's just touching it with his fingers, I can't remember, there's a rule. But it's so difficult to see. Like, his hand could have been 3 inches off the deck, but you could look above and it looks like it's on the deck, or you could think it's off the deck. So literally it's just a matter of judgment at the time. I
understand, mate. I just think it's just shit that, you know, these are technically illegal strikes. Now, no matter what way you look at it,
I know what you mean, mate. I just think it's one of these things.
That's my point. It's so grey. The rule needs to be definitive, mate. It's not definitive, that's the problem.
I think you can make it definitive. I think that may have been an issue as well. I think a lot of it's got to be opinion, like everything's opinion based as well.
And there's got to be like, I don't know. I just feel as if it was awfully grey. It was awfully messy. It didn't need to be. I don't know. I feel like there's too much going on. I think that in that situation, that should be looked at by more than one referee. There's cage side referees that are looking at the replay. They should all discuss it, like a VAR type thing almost, I would say. The referee sees it once in real time, has to make the judgment.
Did Dan not ask at the side, do you think that knee was accidental? I'm sure he asked that question.
I can't remember if it was that one or if it was the elbow, but the elbow was shocking. The elbow was absolutely shocking.
That was the case, but anyway.
Anyway, we've talked about this for far too long. Let's rattle through it. Is there, I suppose, Is there any special mentions for you on this? Because we could, our usual, we could spend half an hour talking about this card. We don't have it, so get some names.
Measure's really good for performances. Look at Sabatieri was superb. Lazez was superb. I thought Keane Zad was superb. Apart from the one knockdown that Landsberg got in the second round, she could easily have won that comfortably, man. Dracar Close looked fucking sensational. Rafa Garcia, even though he lost a point in the second round, he was fucking sensational as well. Mate, there was some great stuff on this. We'll get some performances is probably a way to do it. More than anything else. And Andre Filao's fucking knockout of Miguel fucking Baez, that was superb, man. He needs to change his name for Caramel because he's so soft as shite, man. As soon as you fucking hit him, he just fucking goes down.
I feel for Baez about it because I think Baez looked really good here. He was big, he was long, he was rangy, he looked comfortable. And yeah, tickled that chin and
he's like that, he goes. That big cunt with a big curly hair, they used to like. He's got absolutely fucking everything to fucking do shit in this game of MMA, but it just does not fucking happen for him.
I never liked Luis Peña.
I like Luis Peña at times.
Oh, I thought he was useless because he had all the tools and just couldn't put it together. Yeah, I thought there was some great forms. As you say, we'll talk about Brauho, brilliant. I thought Baeza had a good first round on getting KO'd. Bueno Silva, I thought was brilliant. I thought that was actually a class fight, by the way. I thought that was
a really good fight, it was.
One of my fights of the night, mate. To be honest, I thought Yanan Wu and Bueno Silva put on an absolute show. I thought that was brilliant. Yanan made the adjustment second round, beat Bueno Silva, and Bueno Silva went, oh, really, having that, and then smashed it again. It was brilliant, mate. As you say, Sabatini. I mean, I love Pat Sabatini. I love that style. See that non-stop, just relentless, just grinding the shit out of somebody. Can I just say one thing? You know how I say Kiefer Crosby's the scariest man in all of MMA? In fact, I think I actually say Kiefer Crosby's one of the scariest men in all of the world. Heavyweight William Knight will give me nightmares the rest of my days.
Yeah, that man is fucking ridiculous, the size of him, man. He was unlucky, by the way, because I thought he won, was it second round? I thought he won that.
I had one each. It was probably going the way of
Clark third round as well. I thought Clark was in the third, probably.
Yeah, I had Clark probably 2-1 at that point, to be honest. It was close. It was a good fight. It was a class fight. But William Knight, I obviously seen he was heavyweight, I got quite excited seeing this. I know I seen his weight class. I said his weigh-ins when we were out the weekend. I said he weighed in at 251. The 2 years nearly dropped her jaws because we didn't think he would weigh in so heavy. And what I was expecting to see is not what I saw. I was expecting to see somebody a bit more like Chris Barnett. No disrespect to wee Chris, but he certainly jiggles a wee bit. I was expecting William Knight to look like that, and William Knight looked like a, you know how like if a tank was to eat another tank? And then that was to eat another tank. That's what William Knight looked like.
He looked like an action figure, man. It was fucking ridiculous.
It was terrifying, mate. Absolutely terrifying. Like, amazing. Good night. Decent night.
It was not bad, man. There was some decent stuff for it. It wasn't fucking brilliant, but
I think there was some
performances, some decent finishes.
It seemed like there was some people fed to the wolves here. I feel like Chris Barnett was fed to Martin Boudet, because Martin Boudet, 8 foot tall, 8 foot wide. You know, huge. Jesse Ronson getting fed to Rafa as well. Even Brandon Jenkins. I mean, I think a cardboard cutout would have given more than Brandon Jenkins. No disrespect, but I mean, Dracarco smashed him for a minute
What I will say about Brandon Jenkins, I'll give him his due for the fact that he was as tough as fucking nails and still lasted 5.5 minutes. So I'll give him that.
Yeah. And a wee shout out for our Chinese friend, Haley Alating, for the quickest knockout of the night, which was tremendous.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? It was a class fucking knockout.
Right. Was there actually any bonuses? Fight of the night. Oh, fight of the night was Bueno Silva versus Yan Wunan. Class. So it should be.
I fell out closer to the two performances, which was good.
So. Yeah, a little closer. That's good. Yeah, nice one. Alrighty. Moving on. Let's have a wee look back at Bellator 277, headlined by the rematch for the featherweight belt between AJ McKee and Patricio Pitbull Friel. Discuss.
I think the main discussion point is, did Pitbull beat McKee? That seems to be the big thing.
I texted you earlier on, and my mods were, what did I say? I said, text me when you've scored McKee, and I'm still fucking waiting.
Aye, because I literally stopped watching about an hour before we fucking started recording. So by the time I set all my shit up and stuff like that, I fucking never got
it. Watching it with a clean pair of eyes, first time, how did you score it? I would like it in round breakdown if possible.
Okay, first round I gave to AJ McKee.
Right.
I thought Pitbull threw some stuff, the odd one landed, but for me, I thought even McKee probably threw more punches, probably more landed, just the way I've seen it. Second round, I thought Pitbull came in a lot better, gave him a second round, so I'd 19-19 get into the third. The third round, I wanted to toss every single coin in this house because I did not have a fucking clue how to score that third round. First of all, Pitbull get the knockdown. And then...
Well, I mean, he wobbled him. I wouldn't call it a knockdown. Didn't put him down.
Okay. I'll rephrase that. Pitbull fucking hit him with the hardest shot of the fucking fight, I think.
Yeah.
Then McKee went and get a takedown. Pitbull kind of got up for that. And then fucking McKee get stuck into a guillotine, which I never really felt as though Pitbull was going to finish it.
Yeah.
And then obviously McKee got it top for air and kind of finished around a wee bit of ground and pound kind of towards the end on top. So there's a lot to take in that. If you look at the rules, weirdly, you're supposed to call on damage. So for me, or the fight ending sequences is how they call it. So the two fight ending sequences probably closest for me were probably Pitbull for the hardest shot of the round as such, possible wobbled his legs, kind of blah, blah, blah. And obviously the guillotine, which even though I never thought he was going to finish it, it was still probably the closest to either fighter finishing the fight in that round. So I actually gave it to Pitbull, but if somebody gave it to McKee, I wouldn't have argued.
Yep.
So difficult one. Fourth round, again, I wouldn't have argued either way. But weirdly, I actually gave it to Pitbull.
Yep.
Because I thought he threw the heavier shots and the harder shots, even though McKee probably maybe threw some more shots.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fifth round I gave to McKee because I didn't really think Pitbull done fuck all and McKee just hit him a lot more shots. So for me, I had Pitbull winning the fight 3-2, or what is it, fucking 48-47?
Yeah, same as me.
If it went 48-47 the other way, I wouldn't have an argument.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. I didn't score the rounds exactly the same. I gave round three to McKee because of the control time, basically. I mean, I'm always one that if you throw up an arm and wrap it around the neck and hold it for 30 seconds, I mean, yeah, it's a fight-ending sequence, but you could technically say the control time could be a controlling sequence.
Close to ending the fight, we're obviously thinking about it. Anyway, sorry, continue to talk, sorry.
No, I know, but I don't know, just how I seen it. Round one, you could have tossed a coin. Mate, round three, you could have tossed a coin. It could honestly have been a total different score. I had Freer 1, 2, and 4, and McKee 3 and 5. So I had Patricio winning it. I didn't see the robbery that everyone's talking about. Shout out to Lewis from Norton MMA. He said he was really shocked that somebody had scored Patricio for four rounds. But again, I can see that because if you look at my scorecard, I could have had round three for Patricio, no problem, like you did. And you could have had round one for Patricio, do you know, easy way. So you could easily have had, there was only maybe two rounds there, or three rounds that were absolutely nailed on. That was 2, 4, and 5. 2 and 4 were Freer, and 4, 5 was McKee. Again, 4, you probably could have went either way, but 2 and 5 were definites for me.
Well, that's the thing. Like, obviously, one of the judges had Pitbull by 4, but see, if I'd really thought about it a different way, I could have probably gave McKee fucking 4 rounds.
Yeah.
If I'd really... Do you know what I mean? There was reasons maybe to give McKee 4 rounds. Again, it's all very... It's all based on judgment and opinion and what basically, not what you want to see from the fight as such, because there is supposed rules there, but if you don't maybe see that certain thing within that round, then you're not going to obviously give the man the round. As I said, I could have gave Pitbull another round, I could have gave McKee another 2 rounds, but I've had Pitbull winning 48-47 in the end, and I don't have a massive issue with the result, but as I said, if McKee went McKee's, I wouldn't have been bored. If it went to McKee, I wouldn't have been fussed either way. It was an extremely difficult fight. I'd love to see a third fight because I think we really need one, but by the sounds of things, it'll never happen because McKee will never fight 1, 4, 5 again, and the chances of Pitbull will step it up or slim. So,
He's done it 1-4-5. Yeah, no, I totally agree, mate. Could have been, the two rounds that, you know, I think no matter which way, if I watched it, I think the only two rounds for me that were dubious were 1 and 3. And if I'd switched them round, then it would still be the same result. I'd still have Patricio over 3 rounds. So I think for me, Patricio won the fight. I was talking to Lewis from Norton MMA again about it, and I said, like if that had been a 1 championship scoring, right, I think McKee would have won the fight. Because obviously 1 championship score the whole fight. And I think over the whole fight, I probably would, you know, McKee probably done more than Patricio.
I could definitely see that, mate. 100%. I can see that. I can see that. Probably, if you look at it as a full fight, you probably would go, "Aye, AJ McKee won that fight." But if you go round by pound basis and what's happened, certain things in the fight and stuff like that, then. Yeah, for Pitbull just, and I was surprised when I even thinking that. I was like, I seen the reaction and stuff. I went, there's no way Pitbull won this fight, man. There's been far too much uproar about this and stuff like that, and too many reactions to it. I was like, yeah. And I'm a massive fan of AJ McKee, so I was actually kind of, I was trying to push myself, not push myself deliberately to give AJ McKee rounds, but I was trying to. Subconsciously go, oh, he done that fucking really well. Aye, but then, oh, yeah, true, right, okay. Aye, then you kind of try and, do you know what I mean?
I found myself doing that as well. I found myself scoring around a minute in and going, ah, fuck, games with Wogie, and then changing my mind. it's brutal. Like, you'd love to watch it with an open, like, it's hard to switch off. It's hard to switch off your brain from the result and switch off, you know, the shock and the fact that I would have liked McKee to win, because I think McKee's legit. Talking of the fight, right, obviously we've talked about the decision, we've scored it. I didn't think McKee looked that good, if I'm honest. I don't think it was a great fight overall. I don't think Patricio did very much, but when he did do things, it was good. I felt like McKee, despite McKee's very significant reach advantage, he didn't do fucking anything with it, which was really strange.
I've actually had somebody else say this. I can't remember. I read it somewhere, and I was like, McKee, was like, weirdly, even though he lost the fight, I thought he was still pretty good. I thought at times he did do the range well with his kicks. Those are times or another, I'm no doubting that for a second. And he lost it a wee bit. But it's weird because for me, Pitbull probably won this fight on half a dozen punches and a fucking choke that never fucking get completed. Do you know what I mean? It seems stupid because he won the fight due to harder, bigger punches or nearly getting the submission in that third round. And that kind of, it's fucking, it sounds stupid to say, but I thought McKee was the better fighter on the night, even though he lost the fucking fight.
Yeah. I agree to an extent. I wasn't that impressed with him. Probably, I mean, as I said, if he scored it in a 1 championship sense, I probably would have had McKee win the fight. I felt as if McKee's been so dominant and so good, and he was quite impressive against Pitbull the first time. I think it was almost like the dawning of a new era. And then this time, you just kind of watch it and you went,
I think because he won it in the first round so quickly inside 2 minutes, like, it sounds stupid. We've never seen AJ McKee having to do what he did on Saturday night. We've never, he said, what, a couple of 3-rounders? Yeah. He said 5 decisions in his career, but even then a couple of them were probably earlier on in his career, which they were, back 2016, 2017, he had 3. So over the 2 years, he had 3 decisions. So, he's not really had many decisions recently, so you're expecting something extravagant from him, you're expecting something mental from him, and I think that would be what's impressed you, but he had to go out and do something different in this fight, because he didn't get that finish as quickly as he has in his last few fights, and there's a star there, he probably wasn't as good as he has been, but I thought he was still pretty good, and he's a sensation, mate, and he's absolutely sensational with Mark Harrison, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next, because I think that I read it correctly, it was because that he won the title the last time out, I think it tied up in a 3-fight deal, I think, again. So I don't know what will happen with that now that he's lost the belt again, whether or not that'll still affect that or if he'll keep it.
Because he'll need to fight at lightweight if he doesn't want to drop again, and Patricio said he'll no let him fight for his lightweight belt. He'll need to earn it, so...
No,
be interesting to see what happens, mate. See where he goes in that. If he's going into the lightweight rankings, to see where he goes and who's he going to fight next and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Well, it's particularly Pitbull, obviously, what's that title in the after he beat Peter Quilly. So does he go straight in there and just fucking straight away fight him? I don't know.
I thought Patricio held them both.
No, he did. I think he let go. Oh, I can't remember why, but...
He dropped it, that's right. Fuck.
I'm trying to remember why he dropped it, but...
Interesting that AJ McKee wants to fight Patricio Pitbull at lightweight then. I thought he wanted to fight him at lightweight so he could take the other belt.
Maybe he just wants to fight him. Some lads just wants to fucking fight him. And again, he get that third kind of win, but does they want to...
I'd go and fight the brother, fuck it.
That's what I would do as well. I would go fight the brother, win the belt, and then pull Patricio up to lightweight.
Fuck it. And then I do the trilogy for that belt. Aye. Right. It's a fucking great show. Anything else on this card you want to mention? If I'm going to be honest, I've not seen any of this except Pitbull, McKee. I had to watch it. I've not seen the rest of it. Just couldn't fit it in. Any special mentions from
I've seen the main card, so I'll have a quick overview if we've got time. So Nemkov, Corey Anderson, kind of similar, not similar to earlier on, I suppose, because this is a complete and utter accidental clash of heads. First round, Nemkov won it. Striking looked fucking phenomenal, man. He was superb. Corey Anderson, second round, came out, totally different. Boom, on his ass. Fucking ragdolled him. Third round, came out, ragdolled him. Corey hit fucking Nemkov an absolute massive elbow about 10 seconds before the fight got finished, they got called type thing. I think a couple of people, especially commentators, thought it was actually the elbow that caused the cut. Then you see afterwards that it was the head clash that caused that. And obviously, because I think it's a five rounder, you've got to go to the fourth round. You've got to be like halfway through the fourth round or something like that. I can't remember. Yeah. I didn't read the rules. Before they can then go to the cards as such, as they've done in the two UFC fights earlier on. But it was so far into the fight, you can then go to the cards.
Yeah.
So they ended up calling it a no contest because it was completely accidental. And it was just one of these things that happened. I think Corey Anderson wasn't very happy about it. But again, then's the rules. I didn't have any issues with this one either because that's just the way it is. I think to call it after, fair enough, three rounds, Corey Anderson was probably 29, 28 up after the three rounds. But to call it after that would have been so harsh on Vadim Nemkov. He's a champion, do you know what I mean? There's not you've possibly seen him, because I can see him come back winning it in the last two rounds and going on his belt. So no contest was completely the correct decision for me. I didn't have an issue with that at all. As far as I know, I think they'll run that back for the belt, obviously, and the $1 million check. So not sure when that'll be, but we'll just need to wait and see what will happen.
I'd imagine it'll be relatively soon, I would think. Can't imagine.
Well, it depends on the cup, because the cup was really bad. You're not going to send Nemkov in there, obviously.
Compromise.
You'll not want to fight too quickly after that was that.
So you wouldn't want to send them in there compromised?
No. So, and you couldn't have fallen with that cup, man. It was right over the top of his eye. The blood was literally dripping into his eye when you seen fuck all. So, again, no issues. The other Bellator superstar, Aaron Pico, fucking fuck me, man. Honestly, man, Adley Edwards should not have been in that fucking cage with that man. That was just a total fucking mishmash. It was just a tremendous, sensational performance. As I said, I would caveat that with a bit of the fact that Adley Edwards was just not an Aaron Pico's level in any way, shape, or form. And for me, somebody sitting fourth in the rankings, I think, with Bellator, you need something fucking better than fucking that, because that was a fucking... That was an embarrassment, to be honest, mate. As good as it was a bit embarrassing to watch, and he shouldn't have been fighting that. I want to see fucking Aaron Pico fighting a Daniel Vichel, a Emmanuel Sanchez, Mads Burnell, somebody like that. He needs a fight. He needs a ranked fighter, because we can't just keep watching him fucking knock over tin cans. Honestly, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fucking Big Linton Vidicel rolling back the years as well, man. Going his way to a fucking title shot, I think. The heavyweight division's that fucking light. I think he's fucking on his way there, so...
Well, it was his debut, was it not?
Big Tim Johnson sitting in the middle of the ring.
It wasn't his debut, so I take it back. He's fought a fucking heavyweight for ages, man. I'm talking absolute shite. He's fought a heavyweight since 2019.
I'm not surprised if it was his heavyweight debut. I knew obviously he'd been fighting there for a long time. I can never remember if it was light or heavy, but there's not a lot again in that heavyweight division, so he's possibly put himself in a wee title position there, to be honest. So you never know.
Yeah.
I've never seen any prelims at all, man. It was too much happening. It was fucking 25 prelims, I think, on it. So I know it was quite a lot of knockouts, but you could probably watch it rapid if you wanted to.
Yeah. Right, cool. Let's rattle through the rest of this then. So look forward this now to let's try that again, shall we? Look forward to this weekend or this week. So there's stuff we're not going to talk about. There's a one championship card, which is quite kickboxing and I think Muay Thai heavy. There's also a KSW card with a bantamweight title fight on it that we don't really know much about. So that's on if you like your KSW. We are going to look at PFL. Couple of reasons. It's the debut of the PFL 22 regular season. There's some names on it. We'll look at Bellator from Friday, Bellator from Saturday, and then Lemos versus Andrade on Saturday. So we'll start with PFL. I feel as if these cards get better and better every time we see them.
There's definitely more, obviously, the names are now becoming into PFL a lot more, man. And obviously, a lot of these guys have been released by the UFC and stuff like that, more for different places and stuff like that. But, like, there's no doubt that that's, like, lightweight in the PFL at this moment in time is probably the deepest it's ever been. You're looking at Bushman Fee, obviously, as a defending champ. Don Madges came over. Oben Mercier's not a bad fighter. Jeremy Stevens, Anthony Pettis, Stevie Ray, Scotland's very own. Clay Collard in there as well. You Nathan Schultz in there as well, man. It's a tremendous little division, that, man. Honestly, there's some absolutely fantastic fights coming up in that lightweight division, man. It's absolutely fucking stacked.
That's crazy, mate. Nathan Schultz versus Olivier Oben Mercier is an outstanding fight, by the way.
I think Wishman's Fear versus Don Madge will be fucking cranked too much. I think Don Madge will be a bit unlucky in the UFC, was he not?
Just about to say that, mate. I loved Don Madge when he was there. He just had a great name as well. Because obviously Madge over here is like a pure old granny name, so it was like kind of resonated with us. It was like he's not fought since 2019. In fact, he's not been beaten since 2015, mate. Do you know what I mean? So he's, I think it's just,
UFC. There was obviously more to that than initially just because he wasn't good enough, because he won his two fights in the UFC, so what more can you ask him, man?
Exactly. And they were both, one was a finish, and, you know, Faris Yam's a pretty good fighter, so I'd be interested to see how Don translates across. Rushman Fio, obviously, is the champ at 155 from last year, isn't he?
Yep.
I'd be interested to see if Roush is going to defend his title. Was it Radzibov he beat, I think, in the final, wasn't it?
Yeah, Radzibov.
He had some good wins. Obviously, he beat Clay Collard and Pettis last year, do you know what I mean? So he put in the wins to win the belt. So interesting to see if he can do the same. What a win it would be for Don if he could smash Manfio straight off the bat.
That's copying a statement out there, wouldn't it? That'd be putting an absolute massive statement out there straight away and going, I'm fucking here for this belt. That's $1 million straight off the bat.
That's it, mate. I feel a bit like, you know, saying like, obviously, Madge got a bit unlucky with UFC. I think your man Aubin Mercier get a bit. I mean, Alex Hernandez, Gilbert Burns, and Amarin Sarukian are the three guys he lost to him. These guys are killers, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think he got a dumb one there. But he obviously was in PFL last year, had a couple of wins, obviously setting himself up for making a run at the belt this year. So a win for him against Nathan Schultz would be massive, again, to start. So, yeah.
It would be, mate. As you say, it was a wee bit maybe unlucky with the guys who fought in the UFC, but he's come out of PFL, just a wee bit of money, man. And if he gets that win over Nathan Schultz, that'd be fucking massive, mate. Obviously, Scotland's very own Stevie Ray on it as well in the lightweight division. Tough fight against Alan Martinez. Martinez actually beat Radzibov last year in the group stages.
Yep.
On a split decision, so Razibov obviously got to the final, but I think was it Pettis pulled out or something like that? I think that's who, I can't remember. Obviously got into the final, beaten in the end, obviously, by Roush Manfio, but it shows maybe how good Alex Martinez is. So tough fight for a fucking Stevie Ray, man. I think it's his first fight for a wee while, isn't it?
Since he beat Johnson, he's had a couple of grappling, I think.
Remember he'd obviously marked the Akeze fight, and then after that got cancelled. I think that's when he retired, didn't he? And now he's back. So he's not fought for probably about 2.5 years. So,
yeah.
Some fight to get first time around. It's a tough one, but good luck to Stevie, man. I hope he can fucking bring a bit of money back to Scotland. That'd be tremendous, man.
Yeah, it would be good, mate. Absolute class. Look, good luck to Stevie. It's a good level. It's a tough level. But a couple of wins can get you in the right direction. So here's hoping, man. Fingers crossed for him. Right. Jesus, man. Let's get rattled through this. Right. UFC are doing a double in Hawaii. They always do a double when they go to Hawaii because obviously. Sorry, what did I say?
UFC.
Honestly, man,
you just fuck out of me. I'm there. Yeah. I meant to miss that.
Bellator are doing a double in Hawaii. They always do a double when they go to Hawaii. They like to show off down in Hawaii, which is good. So the Friday night is headlined by Liz Carmouche fighting Juliana Velasquez for the flyweight title. There is actually some good fights on this. I'm really looking forward to Christian Edwards versus Grant Neal. That'll be a class fight. There's some good names on it. Eric Perez is fighting on this. Enrique Barzola, who's always fun to watch. You know, there's some decent fights on this. So that should
I
be good.
This is a bit like Bellator, where they're doing the double card. Can understand it. Why would you go out of way Honolulu and no make their fucking money back twice type thing? But it definitely, you could put these two cards together and you'd get a very, very good card. Whereas I think you've got two half decent cards at it instead of one great card.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely just a wee bit of something missing. But there's some decent stuff on it, as you say, mate. But I'm kind of looking forward to bits. As you say, Edwards Neal's probably the pick of the bunch, I think.
I mean, don't get me wrong, right? The Saturday is by far better.
Oh, aye.
Keone Diggs, Bobby King, Yancy Medeiros versus Emmanuel Sanchez. The fact that that's a fucking prelim is an absolute crime against MMA. Kai Kamaka against Justin Gonzalez. You know, fucking Ilima Ali McFarlane, who lost her belt to Velasquez, is fighting on the Saturday. You've got Arcoleta versus Ralphie on Stotts for the interim bantamweight championship and that fucking bantamweight Grand Prix, because obviously young Sergio got injured. So there's so much there. And obviously you've got Cyborg going to smash Arlene Blanco again. So it's the Saturday's class, mate.
Did you even mention Harry Gutsche versus Patchy Mixer?
No, I totally missed that. That's the other side of the. It's one of the other sides of the bantamweight thing, meant it? Grand Prix.
Yeah, so that's a tremendous little fight as well, man. That's an absolutely superb fight. There's some really good stuff on this. Obviously, a few Hawaiians come back and probably making their biggest fight, because I think is this Yancy's first fight with Bellator, same with Kai Kamaka, I think, as well.
I'm not sure about Kai Kamaka, but I'm pretty sure Yancy Medeiros' first fight.
Yeah, Medeiros' first fight, obviously, for Bellator.
Kamaka fought in December for Bellator, I thought that. Medeiros was his first fight.
But it'll be good for these Hawaiians going back to Hawaii, fighting for their own crowd and stuff like that. That'll be massive, man. The place will be fucking buzzing.
I didn't realise this. See, there's two fights on the 278 card that are actually really, really high stakes. So, see the fight between Jornel Lugo and Danny Sabatello and then Barzola versus Mikhailov. They're qualifiers to get into the bantamweight Grand Prix.
What are they? Did not know that one.
Yeah. Yes. So the winner of Sabatello Lugo will fight Leandro Higo, and the winner of Barzola Mikhailov will fight Magomed Magomedov. I feel as if there was two pullouts.
I'd imagine one of their fights is obviously to replace Pettis, then there must have been another pullout at some point as well.
Oh, it was James Gallagher that got pulled out.
Was it Gallagher? Right, so obviously.
So due to the two pullouts, Josh Hill and that's it. So that's how it's going to work. So there's two fights this weekend in the quarterfinals, and then the Higo versus Sabatello Lugo fight will be in June. Same with the Magomedov fight versus Barzola Mikhailov. So basically the final of this will then be an interim title fight, and then the winner of that will then fight a bit like what one championship do.
Yeah, we'll then fight.
fight against Sergio. Fox, you're talking Sergio's not going to fight to the middle of next year then, basically.
No, I think they'll try and batter this out pretty quickly, mate. I think they got a wee bit bumped, obviously, with the last Grand Prix, because it went on for about a year and a half, didn't it?
Well, that was because of COVID. That's slightly different. But Archuleta starts, and obviously Patchy Mix Horiguchi, but I say the next two fights aren't until June, mate.
It's only 6 weeks away, isn't it?
I know, but I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be an awfully long time to fix it, to
you
be honest.
You could probably do your
semis in September and your final at Christmas.
Aye, basically.
And then your title fight in, what, March?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So maybe a year away. But that would keep Pettis fine. If Pettis is maybe at least 6 to 9 months anyway, that gives him a 3 month gap after that anyway. So probably it probably all works in quite well that probably this time next year, if not before this, then you would end up getting your ultimate fighter, not fighter, it's ultimate, undisputed champion. Fight will be sometime March next year, I would think. So, there's some high stakes fights on the card. There's some decent stuff on it. I would just love to have went like that, bang a tournament together, and let's just get like a wee kind of bit of a super card. But it should be good, man. It should be good, just some good stuff.
Yeah. Right, moving swiftly on. Jesus. To UFC Fight Night, Lemos versus Andrade, headlined by the strawweight fight between Amanda Lemos and Jessica Andrade. Obviously, Andrade, she's dropping back, isn't she?
She's like a fucking yo-yo, she's up and fucking down.
I was going to say, she's dropping back to strawweight since, first time since she got beat by Naama Yunus.
Yeah, I think it is, mate.
First time since she got beat by Naama Yunus. So she's obviously coming back down to have a go and see if she can make a beeline for it. I don't know how this fight's actually going to go, to be honest with you. I'm not sure I rate Amanda Lemos that highly.
I know she's a bit of a run and stuff like that. She did pretty well. She beat Angie Hill last time out. She won five fights in a row in the UFC. Since she lost her debut, she's doing all right. But it's a bit of a step up for Amanda Lemos. But again, it's a weird headline, man. I felt it was obviously really struggling to headline, get somebody to headline this card. And this is obviously what they went with.
What do you think of the card?
I think there was a couple of these last year that we've not probably won this year, but this is probably the first one I've looked at it and went, the ESPN contract needs filled, doesn't it? That's what's happening here.
Aye, clutching at straws, they're kind of filling a gap here, aren't they?
Don't get me wrong, I know Tanner Bosa got pulled out the Romanov fight, which I was really disappointed about, because I thought that was actually a bit of a class fight. Macy Barber, Montana De La Rosa could be decent. The Chinese boy, who I have no idea how to pronounce that, versus Manuel Kapp.
Mudder Jai Su.
Aye, thanks very much for that. I think that's actually a tremendous little fight. You obviously get these between the flyweights, man. They're fucking mental, man.
I actually think the first fight on the main card's a class fight.
Oh, fucking Charles Rondon versus Lando Venata. That's a fucking beauty, by the way. That's a fight of the night, fucking written all over it. Definitely bits on this, man. Tyson, it'd be good to see Tyson Pedro coming back, man. His first no fought for 3 years. So it'll be interesting to see what he's fucking like after so long off. And there's some decent stuff. Jordan Wright versus Matt Andre Barrio might be a decent fight as well. And I'm hoping this is one of these cards that we totally fucking undersell it and totally go, if you're bored in the house and you know, then fuck, I'll sit and watch it. But we get to next Monday and we're fucking raving about it.
Mike Jackson, right? Was that the guy that Dana White said was like horrendous and he would never fight in the UFC again? Was that the guy who fought CM Punk and Dana White?
Why is he fighting?
Mate.
Why is he fighting?
I'm pretty sure he kicked him out and said he would never fight again.
Because he lost to Mickey Gall inside 45 seconds and then he went. Why wasn't CM Punk fighting no contest again?
It must have got overturned. Why did it get overturned? He must have had drugs or something.
I'm trying to remember why that. What's going on here?
What?
That's well spotted, by the way, because I totally never seen that. I'm going to do a wee bit of digging and find out what the script of that is, because that is weird, man.
Marijuana.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
So why the fuck's he back 4 years later with a 0-1 record?
Yeah, and hasn't fought since.
I think he's found some pictures of fucking Dana doing some stuff he shouldn't have been doing.
It's really strange, isn't it? And this is the third time they've booked this Dean Barry fight. It's almost as if this is strange, is it not? The whole thing's kind of odd. Like, why remake that fight 3 times over the space of, well, what, 15 months?
I need to dig it, because this is confusing the life out of me. Unless it's a case of maybe he's got a 3-fight contract and he's literally need to get him fucking a fight or something. I don't know.
I kind of see it, because we'll need to do some digging on that. We'll do some digging and see what we can find out, guys, anyway. Right. Looking forward to it, as always. Look forward to it. Manal Caps, Madajai could be class, as you said, and I'm really looking forward to Jordan versus Vanata. That'll be brilliant.
Definitely, mate. There's some no bad stuff on it anyway, so...
Right, it's your favourite time of the show. It's time for the news.
That's got to be the least buzzed you've been fucking saying that, mate. Usually you're fucking buzzing at your tits trying to say that.
I know, I just like it because of the jingle, but I'm trying to mellow myself out a bit. I don't want to come across as pure excited just because of a wee bit of music, do you know what I mean?
Fair enough. Right, well, to be honest, there isn't a lot. Definitely not a lot, mate. Couple of releases / retirements. So the legend that is Chase Sherman has been released finally. It's weird that Chase Sherman got released, but the other big lump of wood still hasn't been released. I can't remember his name either. That shows you how fucking
Sam Alvey.
There we go. But anyway, Chase Sherman's away, no surprise there, but if Chase has got to go, so does Big Fucking Smiling. The other one who got released was Kay Hansen. Like, I'm not overly surprised, but I'm a wee bit surprised, if you know what I mean.
I'm not surprised in the slightest, mate.
I don't know. I felt like there was something there when she first kind of came in, and I thought she would be kind of kept on for that reason, but
I don't think there ever was, mate. I think she was young, you know, when she signed with UFC, she was, what, 19? Do you know what I mean? So I think it's the same with Macy. It's the same thing with Macy Barber. Yeah. They were young. They were good at the level they were at. I mean, if you're going to fight Invicta, you should be undefeated in Invicta, and she wasn't, and that's the thing, you know. Like, I think, like, if you're going to... It's a hard one, mate. I don't want to disrespect. I love Kay, man. Kay's, you know, I love watching her. I think she's quite good, but she missed weight, she's lost 3 in a row, she hasn't looked particularly good in any of the fights, they haven't been decent fights as like 15-minute decisions. When I seen it, I was like, that is probably the least shocked I've ever been at a release.
I think the only thing you could probably say is, look, she's 22, she's got at least another 15 years in this game, she could be back at any time, so...
If she goes and puts the work in, perhaps changes camp, go do something a bit different, just try something different, go and get a different feel, maybe jump back to Invicta, smash a couple of lasses, get a belt, maybe jump back to the UFC 25, 26, and then make a run there, try and get a bit more experience, mate. I know she's had 13 fights, right? And it's, you say experience, and she's had 13 fights in 5 years, which is incredible, really, if you think about it. She fought 4 times in 2020. Just go back out and, you know, get some respect back off people. Go and show people that you can win a belt, you can win fights. And, you know, I'm pretty sure Dana will be on that phone quite too sweet.
Possibly, man, possibly. We have one retirement this week. I'm not overly surprised. Me, Magic Marlin's away.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he'd lost for 4 in a row, I think.
Yeah.
I think he'd been knocked out in 2 or 3 of them anyway, and I think it was just time, mate. I think everything had went. As I said, he was fucking doing the other side of the hall and stuff like that, and obviously the win, putting fucking inverted commas over Aldo as well, so...
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is probably surprised that, if anything, that Marlon Moraes had left the UFC, but the fact that he's retired as well is probably not the end of the world. Maybe stopping the slide before it fucking went any further. A couple of fight announcements, not too much, probably The biggest one will be the headliner for the June 4th UFC event. That'll be Alexander Volkov versus Jarzynio Rosenstrike. Two guys fighting who are in fucking no man's land and have got nowhere to go. So they will be fighting June 4th. Few fights I like the sound of, to be honest. I was quite looking forward to. First one, Neil Magny versus Shavkat Rakhmonov. That'll be June 25th, which I think is a bit of a beauty.
Fucking balls on Neil Magny, by the way.
Mate, he just wants to fucking fight anyone right now, doesn't he? He just wants a fight. He just enjoy fighting. And it's good to see, man. It's brilliant. And he's 5-1 in his last 6 appearances, sorry. So the guy's full of confidence in him. So he's fucking up for fighting anything. So that's felt with fucking good, man. Another couple, I like Chris Curtis versus Rodolfo Vieira. I think that's the same night. Yeah, it is. So that'll be a fucking decent wee fight as well, I think. Guram Kutaladze. Last time we've seen him was a while back. Remember he beat Matthias Gamrot back in 2020, a couple of years back in his last performance.
Aye.
Which is Gamrot. So he's back, finally. So after 2 years, he will fight Damir Izmigulov.
Was he in one of the corners at the weekend?
What's that?
Was he in one of the corners at the weekend?
Don't know. I don't know. Was there?
Who was the big Georgian boy that was in Omar Gagiev's corner? I'm sure it was Kutaladze.
Was that? No, it wasn't Kutaladze. It was the other boy. I know you're talking about now because he was in the octagon at the end of the fight. Dalton did the translating, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It wasn't Kutaladze. I can't remember who it was, but it wasn't Kutaladze. But anyway, so that'll be June 18th. So I think that's a bit of a belt of their fight. Izmigulov's 20-1. Kutaladze's 12-2. But obviously, the absolute beauty of a win over the former KSW champion. So that should be an absolute belter for me. I'm just trying to be a bit of Bellator, actually. Dougie Lima was also supposed to be fighting in London against Jason Jackson, and that fight will now not be happening. So I'm disappointed that Dougie's no longer fighting in London. I think there'll be a lot of disappointed people there, to be honest.
Why do you know why?
No, don't know. Reason's no idea. I don't even know if it'll be booked. We really don't know, but the fight will not happen in London anyway, which, as I said, is a big disappointment because he's probably one of the attractions of going to Bellator London, as much as you also get a big MVP on it. But to see Dougie Lima would be a bit special as well, I think, mate. So that's a disappointment. Yeah, and that's a lot.
It does.
That's it, mate.
Superb. Right, guys, thank you as always for listening. We do appreciate the love. Get us on socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at InsideCageMMA. And if you listen to us on Spotify, give us a wee rating. We would very much appreciate it. Thanks very much. Have a good week, and we'll catch you next time.